You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. It is the last episode of the year. And this
Boy.
is features editor John Gentile, and I'm here with M. Moore. M. Moore, we've been stuck in the 650 rut now for about 6 months. We'll be out of it shortly. I think I got two more to do, but M. Moore's what you
Hey.
should M. Moore tells you what to listen to of December is up already, so you
Oh,
should check that
say
out.
thanks.
And her end do you want your end of year up to go tonight, or do you want me to put the end of year up on the 31st? What do you want, M. Moore?
Oh, put it up now. It's almost 6 hours.
Okay,
I made a
so I will put that
monster.
up. I'm going to put this episode up, and M. Moore plays her killer playlist of very cool tunes that you should check out. So Sammy B is not here because Sammy B is doing, I think she's going to, I mean, Sammy B goes to a million concerts. I used to be in the same league as Sammy B, but I've definitely fallen off. But I'm picking up because I'll be going to a concert
Hey.
tomorrow and Saturday, and next Friday is Froggy, and then the next Saturday I'm going to a show too. Which show is that? Ginger of the Ramones is doing, well, Ginger of Riverside Oz is doing a Ramones show in Philly, and Sammy B
Oh,
might be
cool.
there too. So it's the Ramones is four moms that do all Ramones songs, which is fun. And the other band I think is a whole tribute band at Johnny Brennan's Great Club in Philly. So anyway, I'm getting back on the saddle again, or back in the saddle again, as both Steven Tyler and Roy Rogers said. So tonight's episode might be longer, it might be short. Next week we're probably going to do our end of year episode, which is always my favorite episode by far. And we're gonna have I'm gonna mix in some music because we gotta have music in the end of the year episode.
For
And so yeah, that's
sure.
what's happening. We're gonna hit a little bit of news. It's kind of slow with punk news this week, and it's slow in punk rock in general this week because this week is traditionally one of the slowest weeks of the year. So Emma, what's happening? What's going on?
Ooh, I'm slowly coming out of a food coma. That's big. I've eaten so much in the past like few days. It's been great. Absolutely no complaints. But yeah, this is the longest I think in about, ooh, God, I don't know, like at least 5 years that I haven't, like today was the first day in almost a week that I checked the site, and that is rare. I'm usually like on it every day, so that's been really weird, but it's been really nice. You know, it's just sometimes you need a little bit of a break, and it's nice, especially when like not much is really happening.
Are you getting burnt out from punk news, M?
I'm trying to prevent it, like, because I know how easy it can happen, and it's like, oh, I don't want to do that, because kind of around Pooza I had that a little bit, but that had to do with like there was so much other shit happening other than just like punk news stuff, so it was just like, oh, but no, I'm just trying to take better care of that so I don't get burnout. Like, you know, when you get to that point where you can't, and this isn't necessarily just because of punk news, it's not like, you know, obviously there's life stuff and all sorts of other things, but you know, when you get to the point when you're just like, I can't even think of an idea. Like, I am trying to think of what to make for dinner and I can't think of one idea. You know, it's just like a blank space. When you get to that point, just hang out, literally just stare at the wall, just try to breathe and get back to regulate. But no, I'm trying to take better care of myself that way so I don't you know, burn out completely. I want to keep doing stuff that I love, and I don't want it to become a source of stress. Do you have any tips for like recovering from burnout?
Well, I honestly, I've never been burnt out from punk news,
Oh
but part of that is because honestly, you put in more energy than I do right now.
yeah. Jeez.
Part of it is I mean, you know, between my day job and selling records and writing books and crap, punk news, you know, I don't
Yeah.
get to contribute as much to punk news as I would like. I want to do more long form interviews, and I'm working on
Hell
one that I
yeah.
actually have to post by the 31st of December, or it will be completely irrelevant. I meant to post it like 3 months ago, and I just it just ma just so massive. I just, you know, have been hacking away at it, not being not honestly. I just haven't been as driven as you will to get to it because I'm like, oh, I can get to it later. You know, you can only get to
Yeah.
everything later. You know what I mean? Except for the things you can't, and so the things that you can, you know, you kind of put off. So I guess the key, you know, I've never felt burned out. I felt annoyed sometimes. Not actually, I've never really felt annoyed with punk news. I felt
Oh yeah.
annoyed with throwing shows. And actually, I might be winding down throwing shows now. I said that before, but I mean, I'm
Hell
throwing a show next week, Froggy, which is going to be awesome. I will
yeah.
probably do a Summer Soiree 7 if it lines up. I'm not going to do a show just to do a show, but if I got a couple of things in the fire, if any of which lined up, would be kind of awesome. But if that doesn't line up, then maybe I just won't throw any more shows. I mean, I've been there, done that. And I've considered moving it to the next level, but there's battles you had to fight to get to the next level, and I'm not sure that's the best. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could fight those battles and win if I really wanted to, but I'm not sure that. I mean, do I want to become a show throwing magnet? Not really. That's not my main goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, to answer your question, with Punk News, I try to do at least a couple news stories a day. I try to do at least I try to do 4 or 5 reviews at least per month. And I try to do the podcast every week. And
Yeah.
so if it doesn't fit into my schedule, or I can't make it, I mean, honestly, it's never me like saying I don't want to, I just don't have time. And so
Yeah,
I guess
exactly.
the point is that if you just don't have time, we'll say, well, I ain't getting paid for it, so I just don't have time. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And the site will always be there, and if it's not, then it's not. I mean, it's we're kicking 25 years this year, M.
Hell
So
yeah.
that's a pretty good run for any website. And if it keeps rolling, it keeps rolling. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm
Oh, it's
not
gonna
going
keep rolling.
to. Well, then you've already won the battle, M. You've already won the battle. I'm not going to taint the website and make it be like one of these payola websites or whatever. You know what I mean?
True. Oh, yeah,
And so
no.
if we become smaller, well, then we become smaller. We've been smaller before, and we've been bigger before. It's very much the Frank Sinatra model. And sometimes you're on the top, and sometimes you're medium. And being medium isn't the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean?
'Cause you're still
So,
going.
right. So that's my perspective. I mean, I wish there was 7 of me, and I wish one of me could work on the website full time. But that's just not
Yeah,
gonna
that'd be
happen, and
cool.
it's not gonna happen. So,
Until we get the cloning contraption fully done, you
Or
know.
until we get those big bucks from a destination punk rock festival that does not go bankrupt. So,
Get your tropical drinks with your little umbrellas.
and how much money would you demand to run Punk News full time?
Is this a yearly thing, or like I demand this much per
Well,
year?
actually, no, that's not a fair question for me to ask. What, like, let's say someone came by with a fat check, but not like an insane, not like $1 million. Because for $1 million, I mean, I would clean bathrooms for $1 million a year. You know what I mean?
Of
But like,
course.
let's say somebody comes by with a reasonable check to run Punk News. Would you do it?
So am I like they're just paying me to do kind of what I'm doing already? Like, or do I have to do more? Like, am I kind of on their dime now? Like, I have to kind of do what they say?
Well, actually, that's a great question because and I'm enjoying this conversation, and if the listeners do or they don't, I don't really care. You can always reach that at johng@punknews.org. You might be able to reach that podcast at punknews.org, but I think that just redirects to my email. There
Oh,
is no
yeah.
actual Punk News podcast. At Punk News. Anyway, point being is, and we don't get
We
paid for Punk News, and that kind of
don't.
sucks. But on the other hand, we can do whatever we want, and let me tell you, you're not going to find that. And I write for Bandcamp. I've written for Rolling Stone. And Bandcamp is considered one of the more freeform, music
Oh,
websites.
yeah.
And I'm not talking smack on Bandcamp. I love writing for Bandcamp. I wrote my Chumbawamba article, my Crash article, my Clone article.
Yeah, they're
But
so
compared to
cool.
Punk News, there are so many more shackles than Punk News. You know what I mean? So it's a
Yeah, for
trade-off.
sure.
You know what I mean? Like if I want to write 10,000 words on Crass at Punk News, no one, or Black Flag, or if I want to write 10,000 words on Sublime, or 10,000 words on Psychotic Pineapple, a band that no one cares about that is awesome. No one can
Psychotic
stop me.
Pineapple?
Psychotic Pineapple is an awesome. I actually, when
That's
we
a
used to do
great
album
name.
battles, when we used to do album battles, that was going to be my next one before Hallie left. It is maybe we'll talk about it sometime.
You should
Psychotic
do it.
Pineapple
Yeah.
is in
Hell
my,
yeah.
is it, I maybe we'll, so next week, if Sammy B's not here, M, you and I will do a double album battle. We'll
Oh,
each
I
have two
am
albums.
so stoked for that. Hell yes. I'm in.
But if Sammy B is here, then we'll do end of year. And then we can do album battle
Also
in a week or two. Oh,
awesome.
what's that?
Also awesome.
So anyways, the point being is, the trade-off is that Punk News, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't find that on any other website. And I New Noise, great website, definitely the second best punk website after Punk News. But you can't do whatever you want at New Noise. You know what I mean? Like, there's still the editor, and you still have to play to a certain audience. If you can write about whatever you want at Punk News, and you know, and I think a lot of the readers have kind of forgotten about this, is you can write any review you want. You want to write a Taylor Swift review, I'll post it. You want to write a Cardi B review, I'll put, like, I really don't care, because you know, we've posted those reviews before and it hasn't hurt us. So the point being, Em, that's the trade-off. Em, how are you feeling about the trade-off right now? That is, you don't get paid anything, but you can do whatever you want. How are you feeling about that trade-off?
Oh, I love being able to do whatever I want. Like, it is amazing. Like, this isn't. So there was a band who I interviewed last year, and I initially pitched it to a bigger publication who does like bands to watch and stuff, and who had kind of been interested in the movement previously. My pitch was completely ignored, and I was like, well, that's fine. I want to interview them anyway. I am going to interview them for Punk News. And they're some of the like the nicest people ever. They're absolutely super. And I'm so glad, like, again, I had the outlet to be able to do that. And like, there's just been so many like just so cool like opportunities and different things with Punk News. Like, again, being able to go to Pooza and like new friends, and obviously all the interviews, and like meeting so many cool people. And like, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Obviously, like, I think it would be really cool in a perfect world, right? Like, you get paid to do it, to do that. Like, I would love to get paid with to do Punk News, but like to continue to do like whatever the hell I want to do, you know, instead of having to like cut things down or whatever. Like, what we did for April Fools too, like, that was really fun. I love doing that when we turned it into a lifestyle magazine and no one got it. But I love doing that because it was, you know, you just get to be really weird and write stuff that's not necessarily like about music, but you can bring it into it, and it's just, it's so fun, you know. And there's just more breathing space, there's more fun to it, and it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to, like, just with interviews, like, I have to show like eight people my interview questions before I'm allowed to interview this person. You know what I mean? It's like, I can come up with them. I can ask.
Wait, say that again? You have to show the publication the interview questions?
I have never done this, but I do know that there are a couple places that do ask for it.
You mean the PR side, or
No, the
the publication?
publication.
Okay, yeah, I mean that's kind of not cool. But if they don't know you, like, if they don't know that you're like not a maniac, you know what I mean?
Well,
Like,
yeah.
I remember. Like, every once, not so much anymore, but maybe 4 or 5, between like 4 or 5 years ago to like 15 years ago, Punk News, somebody say, oh, I want to interview so and so, and sometimes it would be like a big band, and we'd be like, all right, go for it, and we would get back to the interview, and it'd be like the worst questions ever.
Oh,
You know what I
God.
mean? Like, so I mean, if they,
Yeah.
like, I want to say that's not a ridiculous request. I mean, kind of
Oh,
annoying from
fair
their side of
enough.
things, but you know, so.
That bothers me. I don't like that at all. Like, I understand how it definitely has merit, but it's also like, you could just look at something that I've done and be like, okay, yeah, you're fine. But yeah, like, just to have that and be able, like with interviews especially, to have a conversational tone instead of like, you're in, you're out, you know, in like 5 minutes is pretty
I
cool.
will say though that the long form is very cool, but that being said,
Yeah.
the 7 to 15 minute bangers, that is kind of how you become a better interviewer. And it's the toughest form of interview. I used to do this for Rolling Stone. Is like, in 7 to 10 minutes, you have to get new info. Well, first of all, you got to break the ice. You have to get new info. You have to get them to say something funny, and you have to get something moving or have some insight in 7 to 10 minutes. Not an easy thing to do. You know what I mean? It really isn't. You
Oh,
know,
no, for sure. Yeah, you have to work
especially when
on
it's Joan Jett, and you're like, Joan, tell me
it.
about this song, and she's like, well, we wrote it in 4/4 time, and we wanted a fast, upbeat rocker that the crowd really got along to. All right, Joan. That thanks, thanks, thanks for the insight. You know, so.
The thing, because then people are, I don't know, it's an interesting dance, I guess.
Indeed. So anyway, that's the status of punk news right now. We're kind of in a chaos era, which is cool. I had some ideas for some wacky stuff, and I might do it in 2024, or I might not,
what
depending
is it?
On how much free time I have. Well, I don't want to say, I don't want to say
okay,
in front of everybody, you know. So anyways, let's hit a little bit of news this week.
A little bit of news.
Here's some cool news. Asian Man Records is re-releasing the first Kamen Rider album. The new version is basically the same as the old, except for it's got kind of an inverted cover to the original, and it is remastered by Mash Georgini, of course, who's on the original record and does lives in Bloomington and does a lot of work out there. The first Kamen Rider record is not the first, but is it the second project? Because there's Big Rig. I feel like there was one other project, though, between Operation Ivy and Big Rig that Jesse Michaels did. Maybe there wasn't. At any rate, so it was kind of like the first bigger band after Operation Ivy that Jesse Michaels did. And the funny thing is, I think this record 99 or 2002? I forget. Let me take a quick look here. Give me one second here. I'm looking it up on Discogs.
I think it's
and
1999.
It came out. Right, so Operation Ivy broke up at what, 92 or 91? I forget which. Operation Ivy
91?
Broke up in
91 sounds right.
Yeah, not 89.
Oh,
I didn't know this.
Whoops.
Operation Ivy was offered a deal by EMI.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that
either. I wonder what that would have sounded like. Honestly, it might have sounded terrible, though, to tell you the truth, because, of course, No Doubt was signed not by EMI, but who was the first? We're jumping all over the place, but too bad. No Doubt's first record came out on Interscope in Atlantic. We're getting sidetracked. No Doubt's first album came out on Interscope and Atlantic, and it is not that great. There's a song Trapped in the Box, which is pretty good, but it's not that great. And it's not like a ska record, even though it has ska imagery. It's really more like a funk rock record. And you're like, this is way worse than I thought it was going to be. But then you hear the tracks they released before this first album. There's a couple of tracks with some pre-first album, No Doubt, and they're actually like really, really good. And so clearly what happened is they signed to a major label, and the major label's like, funk rock is in. We want you to be a funk rock band, like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Fishbone and Faith No More. And so they kind of did a funk rock record, and it's bad. Then, of course, they got dropped, and they released the Beacon Street Collection, which is an excellent record, almost as good as Tragic Kingdom. And it's much more of a ska record. And then they got re-signed by Interscope, and Tragic Kingdom came out, which is a perfect magical record. So the point being is, had Operation Ivy gotten signed by a major label, it could have been bad because it was 1991. You know what I mean? Or 1989.
Oh, yeah.
So it could have been real bad. But then again, maybe it could have been good. I mean, because Rancid was awesome, or is awesome, or has some awesome tracks. But their first couple records kind of boring. So anyway, getting back to it, Classic of Love, I mean, Kamen Rider comes out in 1999. So 1989 to 1999, it felt like an eon, you know, between Classic of Love, I mean, Operation Ivy and Kamen Rider. But the funny thing is now, it's been 15 years since the first Classics of Love record, and it doesn't feel nearly as long. Isn't that weird?
Do you think it's because Classics of Love had the EP?
I think
that it doesn't feel as long?
I think, honestly, I think the real answer is because Operation Ivy was so seminal. And then between 1989 to 1999, you had Green Day, Offspring, Rancid. Punk went from underground to mainstream. And so, like, everything changed. I mean, if you look at, like, Beatles 61 to 65, they, you know, between the first Beatles album, the Sgt. Pepper, they changed so much. But it's only, like, 4 to 5 years. You know what I mean? Just because culture changed rapidly, and culture doesn't always change at the same rate. You know what I mean? Like, for example, modern hip hop right now kind of sounds like modern hip hop sounded 10 years ago, but modern hip hop in 2010 sounded way different than 2000. You know what I mean? So things don't always change at a steady rate. So I think that's what it is. Anyway, the point being is, a lot of people were psyched on Kamen, I keep wanting to call it Classic of Love, but on the band Kamen Rider, whose first song is Classic of Love. And it came out and it was a really, really good record. Not as good as Operation Ivy, but really good. I think it could have been a little bit harder, frankly, which is what Classics of Love, the band, ended up being and why they're kind of the best Jesse Michaels band there is. But that being said, it's a really, really good record, solid all the way through. And it's been out of print for a while. I'm always kind of mystified that like a lot of these records aren't like continually in print because they'll sell. And I guess, you know, guys like, well, I mean, Kamen Rider was on Lookout, which collapsed,
right.
So that kind of explains why it wasn't back in print, but you know, Lookout collapsed almost 10 years ago. So you think it'd be back in print since then, but I guess it wasn't anyone's main concern. And so online it was selling for like $100, $150. And now it's actually though, Mike Park in a true Mike Park fashion did 1,000 copies because he didn't think it was going to sell, which I can understand. It sold out in a day. Now he's doing the second press. I'm glad this is back in press. I don't think the remaster is going to radically change it. I mean, it sounds like it was recorded digitally in 1999. So what's there to remaster? I mean, it sounds like it sounds. But I'm glad it's back in press. I think it's going to be a real cool release, and I'm psyched for it. It's a great record, and
it's exciting. I'm glad it's back too. That's awesome. Hell yeah, Mike Park.
So that's what's happening. So the real question, M, if you recall at the beginning of this year, Jesse Michael said 2023, the year is going to happen. I've got a secret unnamed band, and also maybe some more classic of love stuff.
Right.
And of course, that secret unnamed band was Doom Regulator. And so far, we've gotten two singles, right? And not a whole lot from classic love, except for was it one? I think it was two. Maybe it was just one.
I think it might have just been one. I think they just released one, and then they changed their name.
Well, it used to be Bad Optics, which is not a great name. The Doom Regulator, not great, but good. You know what I mean?
It sounds cool, you know? It's like a Transformer.
Sounds cool. It does sound cool. 2024. Is it Jesse or is it Tim? Are we going to get Doom Regulator? Is there going to be an Operation Ivy reunion? And I will point out that I remember at the beginning of this year, when I wrote about this story, I said, Jesse Michaels got an unnamed 10th band. What could it be? And some dickhead, one of the usual dickheads, I think he's gone now, was like, you know, well, obviously it's Classics of Love and he's just changing the name and blah, and you should know this and blah, blah, blah. And he was totally wrong, man. He was totally wrong. So it just goes to show that these guys act like they know everything. They don't know jack shit because it was Doom Regulator, not Classics of Love, dickhead. Anyways, so do you think we're going to get what's your prediction for Jesse Michaels 2024?
I think we are going to see at least one more Doom Regulator single, maybe an EP.
Great. Hopefully an EP. Jesse is one of the greatest of all time, for sure.
Yeah,
I don't think Jesse is the one determining when the stuff comes out. I think that's Tim because it's on Hellcat. Tim is so frustrating in that, A, you know, the modern rancher stuff is very hit or miss. The last record was actually kind of good. But, like, he puts out all these things. Remember, he put out that single, not with Queen Ifrika. He put out the single with Cecile the Bad Girl of Reggae, which was awesome.
That was cool.
He put out that one with the other one that really wasn't that good. Who was it? Was her name like Pumpkin or something like that? What was it?
I don't think her name was Pumpkin. But, yeah, she kind of had, like, the Brody rasp.
Right. And so he's like, I've got this new project. It's like, Tim, just stick with a project, man. namely Doom Regulator, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Although I will say, Tim did co-write that song with Jacob's Castle, Time Traveler, which was very good. Oh,
that was fun.
And it was Bonk Bonk.
Bonk
Bonk.
Bonk Bonk.
okay. So anyways, will Tim focus and let Jesse do his magic in Doom Regulator this year? Will we get an album, an EP, a tour, a show, anything? Or is this another Tim Armstrong project, a la The Silencers? A la, what was that band that he had the band with the Slackers. It is The Silencers.
Yeah.
He had that band, was it like Nightmare or whatever? Which was, he had the Nazi Resurrection band that fell apart and became a new band, and then that band fell apart. What's going to be what's Jesse Michael's action going to be? And what's Tim Armstrong's action is going to be in 2024? More bonk bonk, perhaps?
I hope there's more bonk bonk just because the name's so funny, but the song was not good. Okay, I think with
But
this,
and
yes.
the song with Cecile was good, right?
It, that was good. That was cool. A lot of the
And
Hellcat
Doom Reg,
singles were really cool. Doom Regular
that
was
is true.
great.
So
Just focus.
just focus, man. Spend like 2 weeks and just bang it out, man. You can do it. I know you can. You know what I mean? And
I
then you can
think,
do as much
yeah.
bonk bonk as you want. You know what I mean?
To a full bonk bonk album. I think with Tim Armstrong, I really hope he does focus, and I hope there are more Doom Regulator songs. I do, I have an EP feeling. I have that vibe. I think he's gonna start probably about five more projects, and they're just gonna be flights in the night or whatever. Like they're just gonna be like one song and gone. But I think Doom Regulator has strong EP chance, a chance of having an EP, like a very strong chance of that. And I think Jesse Michaels is going to do, ooh, I think he's gonna do well, more Doom Regulator, tying into my prediction. And I also think that there's going to be a massive reissue series. I think this is the first kind of many. I think maybe some of the old classics, a lot older classics of love stuff is going to be re-released kind of in the same sort of vein, like with the new artwork that he did and stuff like that. But yeah, I think he's going to be around a lot more next year than he was this year. That's my prediction. What do you think?
I won't say my prediction so much hope. My hope would be that we get a. He even said he was considering a tour that we get this year.
Oh, yes.
Frankly, I mean, my favorite is Classic of Love. If he was like, you know
Yeah.
what, I'm just going to do a Classic of Love tour or even a Classic of Love album, I'd be like, yes, just because that last Classic of Love EP, World of Burning Hate, was amazing. The album is. I was pumping the album last week. I think it was. The album is amazing. So honestly, like if he does anything, it'll be awesome. And I'll be psyched. I love Classic of Love. I'd love Doom Regular. I'd love to see either of those live. I would fly to see either of those bands live. I think he did do one Classic of Love show actually this year. I think I should have phoned out for it. He did one Classic of Love basement show, and that was it. I super love.
Right.
Well, I'm not even gonna jinx it. I'm not gonna say this out loud. I'll tell you after the podcast, Em.
Got
Probably not
ya.
gonna happen, but I'm not gonna jinx it. Operation Ivy, I would fly out to see that. Although honestly, it wouldn't be my fr it'd be a lot of people's first choice. It'd probably be my second choice. My first choice definitely Classic of Love. Maybe even Doom Regular. I mean, actually, maybe I'd rather see Doom Regular than Classic of Love, just because I don't want to go to Operation Ivy. I mean, Jesse's still the man. Other
Yeah.
people are getting a little bit older, and I don't know if I want to see an old Operation Ivy. But Doom Regulator, well, I don't care if they're old because it's a new band. You know what I mean? And it's
Yeah.
not competing with anything in my brain. So I'd love more Classic of Love. I'd even settle for Mike Park reissuing all the Classics of Love on vinyl, maybe as a double vinyl. And so yes, that's what I'd like to see. That's what I would like to see. So yeah, anyways, whatever they do, I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I just do hope they do something.
I think
Let's
they'll
see
do
here.
something.
I give it a 50-50 chance, honestly. I give it 50-50. So let's see here. Here's something that's also that I don't give 50-50 to. I give this a two thumbs down. Black Flag has extended the My War tour, and they're doing another tour, a very long tour actually. It kicks off in December. What the hell?
Sorry?
That's weird.
What happened?
Oh no, wait.
Is
Oh,
there
I
something
see
with the
that there's a
dates?
type there's a typo in the Black Flag poster. They wrote some dates as 2024 when it's really 2023. I see.
Oh, I got
So
ya.
anyway, so Greg Ginn's going on a almost 3 month long, no, well actually it's 2 1 month treks of Black Flag doing All My War and then a second set of greatest hits, which is mostly the first 4 years and Damage and a few other tracks. I had the chance to see this, but I didn't go because I had something else going on that day, and I probably could have made it work. But like, do I want to go see Greg Ginn and three jackasses? Well, I should say one jackass and two guys I don't care about. Mike V's a jackass. He really is. And the fact of the matter is, if I had nothing else going on, I kind of do want to see my war all the way through, even with Mike V singing. I mean, ugh, you know, but I don't know, man. I mean, I'd much rather see Flag. My brain is saying this is stupid and you shouldn't go at all because it's just Greg Ginn and three dudes calling themselves Black Flag. Whereas if the tour was Greg Ginn and three dudes doing My War, I'd be like, cool, you know. But although even that would be what's the word I'm looking for? Not bittersweet, underwhelming, because you want to see. I mean, if you go see My War, not that I'm a Henry super fan because I'm not, but you want to see Henry singing, and Henry's not
of course.
At this point. But I'd love to see Keith Morris do his stuff, which I have five times, and it blew my mind. It's the best thing ever. So anyway, the point being is there any point in this whatsoever? Or the point being is, I was saying is, even though my brain is saying this is stupid and pointless and don't waste your money, my heart is saying, well, at least it's Greg Ginn doing My War and a bunch of other tracks, which, even though it's not Black Flag, still might be somewhat enjoyable to see, and why not? And what's right, my heart or my brain?
I'm going full brain on this.
Oh, really?
Why yeah. I this just gives me a bad feeling. And I
why,
don't know
like,
why.
Four creepy dudes?
Yeah. You hit the nail
it's four
on the
creepy
head.
Dudes, dude.
It's four creepy dudes. And it's just like
I can't speak to Harley Duggan and Chris Wyatt.
Oh,
I don't know
true.
Anything about them. But Greg Ginn, definitely a creepy dude. Mike
oh,
Lee,
yeah.
Definitely a creepy dude. So,
I do not like Greg Ginn at all.
I mean, I don't like him as a person.
I don't like him as a person.
I think he's a real piece of work. And I think he handled Black Flag, the business interest, and as I see the business interest, and Black Flag, the artistic entity, as poorly as anyone can handle it whatsoever. And it just goes to show how strong the concept of Black Flag is, which Greg Ginn is the architect. That despite the beating and tarnishment that Greg Ginn has purposely done to Black Flag, like at times I feel like he's purposely trying to ruin it, it still withstands, you know. That being said, it is even though he's a creep and a jerk and is a terrible businessman, and is not a nice guy and is a jerk, doesn't take away from the fact that he and people have forgotten this because he's tainted his own legacy so much like Roger Waters. You can't take away from the fact that he is arguably the greatest punk guitarist of all time, or if not the greatest, then one of the greatest, and certainly one of the most daring of the era. You have to agree with me there, Em. Do you agree with me there?
Yeah, I have to give him that.
And so I mean, there is a line that everybody kind of has in that, like, you know, well, first, like, actually, Em. Every artist that you go see, do they have to be a nice person for you to want to go see them?
My thing is, I would like to support bands with people who are not gigantic pieces of shit. Like, I don't want to.
But you didn't
support...
answer my question. You didn't answer my question, Em. Would you go see a band where the main person is a jerk? Not like a rapist, not a killer, you know, not a racist.
So just somebody
like David Lee Roth is cool on stage, but I bet if you dealt with him in person, he'd be pretty annoying. You know what I mean? So would you go see David Lee Roth?
I don't like David Lee Roth.
You don't like David Lee Roth?
No. Okay.
All right. How about Ari Up? Ari Up of the Slits, famously difficult to work with, you know, famously sometimes a jerk. But one of the greatest artists of all time. Would you go see Ari Up of the Slits, even though she didn't get along with a lot of people?
I would. It, like, if the person is just a jerk and they're not, like, you know, a predator or, like, they've had domestic abuse suits, then if they're, you know, like, serious stuff, no. What was your next question, sir?
Well, actually, I don't know what my next question. The point I was making is that, like, everyone has their own line. I would certainly go see artists that are jerks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't go see bands to me, music is art, and art doesn't necessarily have to be moral, and it certainly doesn't have to be nice. It can be mean. you know, and that's part of the human experience, the human emotion. And if you censor yourself, well, then it's not art anymore. But that being said, would I go see Bill Cosby tell stand-up? No.
Good God.
You know, so like everyone's got that line, you know, and
yeah.
I forget where I was going with this line of thought. So I guess the question is Greg Ginn beyond that? So jerks. So yes, lots of like the Death in June guy. I don't think he's.
Oh God.
I don't think he's a Nazi. I think he's just a total weirdo and kind of creepy. So I would go see Death in June. I don't agree with a lot of things that he says or does, but I would go see him because I think he's an amazing artist. But I wouldn't go see Bill Cosby. I wouldn't go see. I'm trying to think. I wouldn't go see Anti-Flag, but that's just because I think they're a terrible band. but like, so everyone's got that line, you know. And so the fact that Greg Ginn is a jerk and is a terrible manager of the SST business, I would still go see the band, even though Greg Ginn sucked. But on the other hand, though, Greg Ginn is directly stealing from a lot of artists that I really, really like. You know, like he doesn't pay Keith Morris any royalties. So do I want to give my money to Greg Ginn? That should rightly go to Keith Morris. I'd be interested to hear what Keith Morris's perspective would be on that. You know,
that would be interesting.
Keith, should I pay to go see Greg Ginn? What if I snuck in to see Greg Ginn? Would that be fair?
Well, then he's not getting the money and you're still getting to see the show. Yeah, I think that would be fair. It's like pirating a movie with like actor that you don't agree with.
But I don't think that's fair either, because how about all the other people that are involved in it? You know, the distributor, the bit part actors, the sound person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very complex you support the other stuff that they do.
Well, anyway, he's not coming anywhere near me, and I'm certainly not going to fly out to see Black Flag with Mike V like I would to see Jesse Michaels. So it's not going to happen. So anyways, I don't know. Honestly, I think what would happen if you went, your mind's not going to be blown. Because I've seen Black Flag with Mike V, not on the My War Tour. I saw Black Flag with Ron Reyes, which was very good, actually.
Rhythm
section was bad. Then I saw it with Mike V, and it was bad. And we like everyone else was like, yeah, it was better than last year. No, it was so much worse. It was Mike V is so corny and cheesy. He's a caricature of Rollins in 84, which... Rollins in 84 is a character of Rollins in 81. You know what I mean? It's bad. Yeah. So I would probably go, and it would probably be, you say, I saw it. You know, that being said, I'd love to see Flag again. And one of the greatest musical moments is Keith Morris doing My War with Chuck Tukowski. And of course, the song was written by Chuck Tukowski, and it's awesome. They ought to put out a single of that. I don't know why they don't. You know what I mean? They should.
They should.
That'd be pretty cool. So anyways, Black Flag, the legacy is tarnished but not destroyed, which speaks to the strength of the band. Let's see, what else can we talk about here? Pain of Black has got a new album out. It's called Famine. Mm-hmm. It's been out a little while. I did a review. What I found interesting about this, M, is the whole album has biblical imagery woven throughout it. What do you think of that?
Oh, so like famine is like the horse, like the apocalypse, one of the horsemen.
He talks about it might be, but I mean like he talks about like angels, like in the biblical concept of angel throughout the album. He talks about the lion and the lamb from what book of Isaiah. He talks about let's see what else here. You talk about like walls of Jericho and those kinds of things. City of the Dead is a biblical concept. Like there's biblical. I shouldn't say biblical because I believe. Well, actually, I know for a fact that Dan Yemin is Jewish or at least culturally Jewish. So and all the imagery is also from Talmud, the Hebrew Bible. So maybe I shouldn't say Bible. Maybe I should say Judeo-Christian concepts. You know, or even Judeo concepts. What do you think of that, Em? Because, of course, Painted Black has been quite critical of religion in the past. So the question is he just using it symbolism for the sake of symbolism? Or is he saying that he's religious now? Or was he always religious? Or that is he saying being religious is cool, but institutionalized religion is not cool? Or is he saying my religion is right and everyone else's religion is wrong? What's he saying, Em? I was really, and no one brought this up. I was really surprised by, like, pretty much every song has very specific, detailed religious imagery woven in, used in a modern context. That is, he takes a lot of Hebrew or Judeo-Christian imagery and uses them as metaphors for contemporary issues on almost every song.
I haven't heard the full album. I've just heard like the singles, so I can't really like, you know, speak to the context of the album, but I have listened to a couple other albums this year that do have a lot of like spiritual imagery and stuff, and like some religious like tone or overtones and like allusions and stuff. And I think it's because there's all and I think it's because there's a lot that as a songwriter you're trying to come across, like you're trying to get all of these like feelings and all of these like images into people's minds. And it's like, okay, well, what are people like kind of familiar with? And it's like, well, people are familiar to an extent with biblical things, because like it doesn't matter if you're religious or not, you've encountered it somehow, you know, through media or mostly through song lyrics. Like the majority of like Bible things that I know are through like heavy metal lyrics, you know. It's like, what's that? Ooh, okay. Or like, you know, fantasy games or like things like that, right? Like they're everywhere, they're baked into everything. And I think it's because there's something about it that's just very powerful, not in a religious sense necessarily, but in a very like image driven sense, you know. Like somebody, like I'm not familiar with the concept of like the biblical concept of the city of the dead, but like just saying those words, like you can picture it immediately, you know what I mean, like what that is and how like that makes you feel and what's going on there and you know all these other things. So I think it's more to get the point across and to maybe tap into something like subconscious within you where you know these things because they're like ancient things. A lot, obviously, a lot of Bible stories and stuff do come from other mythologies and borrow from other things. So I think it's one of those. I don't think he's saying that he's religious now, or the band's religious, but I think it's just more in a storytelling aspect and more in a visceral way. Because I know for, or well, I shouldn't say I know, but I'm pretty sure that I read something with Dreamwell and their album In My Saddest Dreams, I Am Beside You. There's a lot of like religious allusions in that. And there were, or in an interview that the band gave, they came out and said like, no, it's woven in because we need to like really get these points across and really get this like this imagery across that's not necessarily like real, but it has this like kind of very image heavy vibe to it. So I think that's why a lot of people use it. So
well,
what do you think?
Fair enough.
Because you've listened to the
album.
I wish
I'd asked him. I wish I listened to the album closer when I interviewed him. I could have asked him that exact question, but I didn't. So that's on me. So yeah, I think he actually might be kind of a religious guy in his own way, and he finds it applicable to use that imagery for modern things. And I think he finds it intellectually stimulating as to how well the ancient stories and symbols snap into modern issues right now. That's my take.
Interesting.
But well, I guess we'll know when I interview him again in 10 years when the next album comes out. So let's see here. Anything else we want to talk about, Em? Anything else that you think? Have you heard the new Rolling Stones album?
I have not heard the new Rolling Stones album. Is it good?
It's good. It's good. It's not great. It's good. The B side actually is really, really good. The A side is just kind of generic. I wish they use this hip young producer called Andrew Tate, I think his name. What's his name? How's this guy's name? Andrew Watt.
Who?
He like he just kind of puts like a modern pop sheen on all the songs, but the problem is they're rock songs, so kind of washes away some of the edge, you know. Whereas on the B side, it's
Oh,
kind of
sure.
more rock and it's way better. So it's decent. I think I told the story of me getting tickets. I'm going to go see him, so I'm psyched about that. I
That's
paid a very
exciting.
reasonable $150, which in 2023 is very reasonable for any big rock band, honestly, which is kind of crazy, but that's what I paid. So yeah, and I don't know. And anything else you want to cover? Anything else you want to talk about?
What
Did you hear the
just
Minor Threat
happened?
7-inch?
I did not. Is it good?
Yeah, Em, you gotta listen to that. Don't you write for do you write for a website called Punk News, Em?
Oh. Well, I was too busy listening to Dolly Parton, rock star.
Fair enough. Fair
I
enough.
haven't listened to that either.
But
Oh my God,
it's
what do you
very hit or
listen
miss.
to?
With Dolly Parton, it's hit or miss. When it hits, it really hits. When it misses, it's just kind of not that good. I mean, Em, do you like Minor Threat?
Yeah, I like Minor Threat. I
All
just
right,
haven't
fair
got
enough.
around
Fair
to
enough.
listen to it. Like, that's really it. I have a list of albums that and EPs and like, all that fun stuff that I just haven't gotten around to yet, because it's every year there's always like something. So they're definitely on it, because it's yeah, there's just so much good music. There's so much stuff to listen to, It's awesome. Like,
Em,
if you could
who?
just spend that whole day.
What's your dream Black Flag lineup, Em? Your dream Black Flag lineup.
My dream Black Flag lineup. Okay, well, Keith Morris has to be involved. I know that. Kadena, maybe. Give me the thing, please. I need to see
So
the full disco, or I need to see the full members here. Give me a minute. I'm just pulling it up.
Choice for singers is Keith, Ron, Dez, Henry, and Mike V. Guitar, only ever one guitar player. Well, Greg Ginn, but also Dez Kadena. Bass, Chuck
Yeah.
Tikowski, Kira Rosler, or I think Sal Revuelta was the last bassist, unless he played drums. I forget, the very end of the band. And also Raymond Pettibon was one of the earlier bass players, or that guy Kansas. On drums, your choices are Robo, Brian McDowell, Bill Stevenson,
Oh
and I'm not even gonna name like the new guys because no one
yeah.
cares
Yeah,
about
no,
them.
don't worry about them.
Oh, and Kira Rosler on bass. Bass is Dukowski and Kira Rosler, as
Yeah.
well as Pettibon and that guy Kansas.
Right.
And oh, and Chuck Biscuits is your other drummer, of course. Anthony
Yes.
Martinez is the last drummer of the first version of the band.
First. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, got ya. So I would have, ooh, can I have two vocalists?
Well, yeah, because Flag has two vocalists, Keith and Dez.
Yeah, that's true. The Flag lineup's really good. I think I go Keith and Ron, because I think that would be really cool. I'd have two bassists. I'd have Chuck and Kira, because that would sound really cool. Dez would be on guitar, Bill on drums.
There actually was a show where this is 83, I think. It was called the First Four Reunion, where Keith, Ron, and Dez all did sets at the same Black Flag show in 83.
Oh,
I
wow.
guess I don't know if it was Kira on bass or Dukowski. My dream lineup would just be the Flag
Yeah.
lineup, but
It's really good.
with Egerton switch with Greg Ginn. But that being said, not Greg Ginn now, the Greg Ginn that we want. If it's the Greg Ginn now, then I'm just going to swap back out for Stephen Egerton because he does a better job being a Greg Ginn than Greg Ginn does right now. So, yeah. So, anyway, Flag is awesome. So, yeah, I don't know. Anything else you want to cover, or should we wrap this one up?
Anything else that's going on? I can't think of anything else to cover right now. Just there's some cool shows happening, like at the start of the year, so make sure you if you go and see shows, keep safe because the COVID cases are rising again. So mask up, wash your hands, all that fun stuff. There was a show that was supposed to happen at the Horseshoe Tavern, and that got canceled because the people who run it are absolute assholes, and it just got rescheduled.
Say that again. What'd you say?
There was a show, a benefit show, that was supposed to take place at the Horseshoe Tavern, and it got canceled last minute, not due to the organizers, but due to the people who run the venue.
What happened?
So it was a benefit show for, the money was going to the Toronto Palestinian Community Defense Fund, and also the Red Crescent, which is the Muslim version of the Red Cross. And the people who run the venue, like the promoters contacted them and was like, hey, this is what it's going to be for. Do you mind running it? And they were like, no, not at all. How, like, this is going to be great. Have at it. And then they canceled the show very soon, like very close to when it was supposed to take place. They basically had no intention of running the show. And then they said they had some, they were like, oh, well, we had complaints about it and everything. But the organizers provided all of like the emails and everything that they'd had with the people. And it was whenever any issues were raised, the organizers were like, well, actually, this is what's going on, just so you know. And then the people who ran the venue were like, oh, it's totally cool, whatever. So the people who run the venue, they also reacted very, very poorly to some messages that they received. They used some very racist and violent language. So the organizers for the benefit show finally got another place to host it, and they got that rescheduled. So that's cool. That takes place on January 10th at It's Okay Studios in Toronto. So there's lots of really cool bands playing. There is Lal. There is Hole of Furnace Head. There is Oxalis, sorry. There we go. Scooter J and Nada Mad. So they were able to find a place. They were able, and it will happen. So that is exciting. Woo!
Well, there you go. I'm trying to find... Oh, I think I found the Black Flag Reunion show. Oh! Wait. Oh!
What?
I never knew. I didn't realize this. So at the 1983 Black Flag, this is very Greg Gimm.
Okay.
In the 1983 Black Flag reunion, which was supposed to be the first 4 years reunion, the first song was Nervous Breakdown, but it was Merrill Ward portraying Keith Morris. It wasn't actually Keith Morris. Then Ron Reyes did 9 songs. Then Dez did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs. And then Henry did about 16 songs. Very interesting. So it wasn't really quite the reunion I thought it was. Although I don't know who was on drum and bass for that show. Very interesting. I assume Kira and Bill Stevenson.
That sounds right.
Well, I mean, like, if the singers are reunion, shouldn't they bring in Dukowski and even Robo? But I don't know. I'd like to look into that. That lineup. Kind of interesting, though. So anyways, I don't know, kind of a rambling, shambolic episode, but there you go. That's what you get this week. Next week might be the end of the year, or it's going to be an album battle. See you next week, jerks. Or no, I shouldn't call you jerks, your listeners. See you next week, nice listeners. We like you a lot. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.